Welcome back to episode 18 of the podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Sarah.
And we're the Travelling Two.
Right now we're in a dorm in Cat Bar Island. We managed to actually ask the owner this time if he had a spare room, and it's 10 a.m. in the morning. We're actually just waiting for a bus later off Cat Bar Island, but we thought, well, this is our only opportunity to record, so here we are.
So, how have you been feeling this week?
I really like this week. It's been very hot. That's the theme of the week.
Yeah, I agree.
It's literally been 36, 37 degrees like every single day this week. And all I can say is that I've sweated the most I've ever sweated in my life.
Sweating buckets and buckets.
And that's all I remember from this week.
Yeah.
No jokes. But yeah, very hot.
Yeah.
What about you?
I totally agree. Is that definitely a solid summary of the week? Just like...
Sweating.
Cycling, overheating, dying for aircon, never cold enough.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the episode then.
At the start of the week, we were in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So Hawaii is like a small city, mm-hmm. say.
In central Vietnam.
Yeah. And the main things to do there was the Imperial City, which is like a collection of palaces.
Yeah, and palaces temples. And temples that the emperors of the Nguyen dynasty built about 100 and... I don't know when it was.
I don't know
actually.
When it was.
Sorry. But a while ago.
Quite a while ago.
No, I don't think it was a while ago. I think it was like 150 years ago.
Really?
Or maybe they reigned for 140 years.
I think it was a long time ago.
I'm sorry, we're not very factual on this podcast. Basically, you walk around the Imperial City.
Yeah. We also it's went... like an enclosed area across the river.
Yeah. We also went to the abandoned water park.
Which felt like... I felt like such a rebel. It's like a completely, completely abandoned water park. One girl asked if you could go on the slide, so you definitely cannot. Like, they're just, like, full of, like, murky water, and we, like, have to pay a security guard to, like, let you in and go see the dragon. It was really cool to wander about.
Yeah, we actually saw this on, like, someone's vlog, and they were like, oh, we went to the abandoned water park, and we're like, right, we got to do this too.
Yeah, it's a tourist attraction, as in, like, our hostel host recommended it to us as well. Like,
yeah,
people go. It's not like no one goes.
It's just kind of hard to get to, like, unless you can again, theme is we can't drive motorbikes, so we can't get to places. And so we actually had to get like a grab there, which was fine,
but then you're abandoned in the abandoned water park because it's like quite out the way, so you can't really easily get a motorbike back.
So then we had to like walk ages until we got to the...
It really wasn't that far.
It felt far in that heat. And then we had to go to the main road and like try and order a taxi. And it was fine in the end.
It was absolutely fine.
But just bear that in mind if you're planning on going.
Yeah.
Bit hard to get to.
Yeah, it is.
But it was really... It's cool. It's quite small. Like, there's only really the dragon.
The dragon part. And, like, some slides and, like, a pool. It's mainly the dragon.
Yeah.
And then the final thing we did was go to Tuduk Tomb.
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of tombs and burial grounds from the emperors that used to live in Hawaii. And you can go to, like, 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah, I think so. They're all, like, kind of nearish the Imperial City. You can get, like, a combined ticket if you want to go to all of them. We weren't that bothered by going to all of them, so we just went to what we heard was, like, the main one, like, the one that looked the most impressive, and it was pretty impressive.
I don't know, like, it was impressive, but, like, I also could have skipped it. Like, it's just a tomb.
Yeah.
But I did like the fact that on the tomb he had his whole autobiography just on his tombstone, and I was like, wow, that's quite impressive to...
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Manage to get that on there.
And then we also ended up going from there up like a big hill where you have like a nice viewpoint over a lake, which was actually recommended by Sarah's grab motorbike driver.
Spoke perfect English.
Yeah,
like, loving talking to him.
Which was actually a really nice recommendation. It felt like a little hidden spot. Yeah, gave you a pretty view.
So that was everything that we did in Hawaii. We were only there for like a day and a half.
Yeah, a day and a half.
And also when we were there in the evening, we were wandering around by the river, and actually Hawaii Festival was on at the same time. So the first evening we went down, we actually only went at like 9 p.m. because we had arrived late in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much going on. But
I think it's more like a day thing for like a lot of Vietnamese people were staying in Hawaii at the time for the festival. There's like a main stage which I think has like sort of performances between like 7 and 9:30.
Yeah, so on the second day we managed to go and we were like waiting for, I don't know, who was gonna come on.
They were a very popular Vietnamese boy band.
Yeah, very popular.
Well, I mean, there was a whole range of ages actually, just like, it was mobbed though, it was really, really busy.
Yeah, and they were quite good. They were a good band, although we did realise that we put the wrong band name on our Instagram story 2 days later.
Yeah.
We got it wrong.
I don't think it was...
The Lab, it was actually the Chili's.
Chili's or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they were really good.
So how do you rate Hawaii?
I rated Hawaii a 6 out of 10, which is kind of low.
No, I gave it a 6 out of 10 too. Like, it's a nice city. Like, I enjoyed the abandoned water park probably the most.
Mm-hmm,
but, like,
same.
There's not loads to do there. All the things that we did were not really in the main city. I guess the Imperial City is kind of in the main city. But, like, I think most of Hawaii's attractions, like, aren't... really, they're not in
like
the main city.
2-3 kilometers outside of
yeah.
the city.
And Hawaii itself, like, doesn't really have like loads going for it. Like, it's got some restaurants and like shops, but like not a lot there.
Yeah, I think if you're a history nerd and you like the emperors and all about the dynasties and all that kind of stuff,
then you'd love it.
Then you would love it. But like, that's not the kind of history that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So like, it was cool to see, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
You could skip it. So then after Hawaii, we went to Phong Nha. So Phong Nha is a region that has loads and loads of caves.
Yeah, Phong Nha Ca Bang National Park. And there's, I don't even know how many caves are actually in the national park, but there's a lot of caves.
A lot of caves.
Only some you can go to, some you can't. And it was a really, really cool place.
It was really, really impressive. So we arrived like late at night. And we had already booked with our hostel a tour for the next day.
Mm.
So we kind of chose the cheapest tour available. Still quite expensive, like £48.
Yeah, I think it was a $60.
Yeah.
It was the cheapest one, but also it was the one that did the caves that we wanted to go to.
Exactly.
So it went to Paradise Cave and it went to Dark Cave, whereas the other options that you can do long treks in, like, you can do a 7K trek in Paradise Cave. They have tours that are 2 days, one night, and you can, like, camp in the caves. We just did the tour that, like, went to the places that we wanted to go
mm-hmm.
where we wanted to see. Yeah.
Yeah. So we went to Paradise Cave first. That was really, really impressive.
Yeah.
It's massive. It's not the biggest cave.
No. But you can, like, walk 1 kilometre through it, which is all, like, paved, and it's... yeah, it's like spectacular. Like, you could, the whole thing is just like really, really cool.
Yeah, there's like loads of stalactites and they're all like in weird shapes, and
yeah,
like some of them mean something to the Vietnamese. Like, there was one that was like health, wealth and life or something.
Yeah,
like
different layers or something.
Yeah,
like,
and then we went to Dark Cave.
Yeah, Dark Cave is more like a adventure park kind of. So you get a zip line to the entrance of the cave and you have to swim. And inside the cave, it's a mud bath, and it's pitch black. You have to wear a torch. And then afterwards, like, you go kayaking, and there's, like, slides and more zip lines.
Yeah, it's really, really fun.
It's, like, a whole experience in itself.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. I really enjoyed Dark Cave, especially, like, the slides after...
Yeah,
the slides and the zip line afterwards was really cool.
Yeah. And then the next day in... Phong Nha, we had been recommended so many times to go to this place called the Duck Stop. So we went there, crazy weird place, just full of ducks.
Yeah, but it was really fun. And then in the afternoon we went to Phong Nha Cave. So we hadn't had enough. We'd done two caves already, but we're like, right, we gotta complete Phong Nha, because
yeah,
National Park is called Phong Nha, so surely Phong Nha Cave is the one that you're supposed to go to.
Mm.
So it was quite nice because I feel like each cave was very individual and very unique. I didn't feel like we had wasted our money going to another cave. Like, people
no, they
like,
were
oh,
quite
why?
Different.
Yeah, like, why are you going to another cave? Like, why spend your money on that? But I like the fact that you go on a boat to Phong Nha Cave,
mm-hmm.
and it's all through water.
Yeah, they had boat through the cave a bit. You get, like, a sort of tour of the cave on the boat, and then you can get off and walk through part of the cave as well.
Yeah.
And because we had done that on our own and not on a tour, we could, like, walk through it at our own pace more, and before, like, we got the boat back. Like, it was a really cool cave, I thought, as well. It was more similar to Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I liked being on a boat through the cave as well.
Yeah. And actually, it was a lot cheaper to go to Fong Yat Cave as well. Like, if you if you're only in Fong Yat for one day and you want to do a cave,
yeah,
you don't want to do it at all.
Definitely do this.
Like, it was only, like, £7.
Because you share a boat with other people, so you can, like, split the price of the boat.
Yeah. So, what would you rate Fong Yat?
I gave Fong Yat a 9 out of 10.
Snap again!
Nice! I love caves. I love caves. I thought it was really, really cool. Like, all three of them, like you said, like, so unique, so different. Each one, like, amazing. Like, I was just, like, walked into them and was like, wow. Like, we spoke about expectations. Like, don't really go to places with expectations. You don't know what it's going to be like. But, like, I definitely didn't expect it to be like that. It was, like, way bigger, way cooler than I could ever imagine a cave to be. Just, like, everything in Fong Yat was, like, really nice. I liked where we stayed as well. Like, the family dinner was really nice. Mm-hmm. The food was great. We went to a really good restaurant the next night for dinner.
Yeah.
Bamboo Cafe, highly recommend if you're in Fong Yat.
So, so good food. Yeah. Like, the tofu was actually really tasty.
Yeah, actually, like, probably the best tofu yet. Like, everything was just good there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I really like Fong Yat. Definitely, if your hostel is offering family dinner, always go, because it's always worth it, and the food is always amazing.
The food's really nice, and it's, like, a nice atmosphere to sit with the people that are in your...
Hostel.
In your hostel, in your dorm, like...
Yeah. And then after Fong Yat, we did a night bus all the way to Tam Kok. Well, the
night bus goes to Nimbin.
Yeah.
And then Nimbin, Tam Kok are, like, the same area. Tam Kok's just outside. And we got, like, a 10-minute taxi or something like that.
Yeah, we arrived at, like, 4 a.m. again. But our hostel was really accommodating. Like, it was quite a big hostel, like, with a pool and... Not as nice as, like, the little homestays that are, like, little family ones, but this one was more,
yeah, this
like
is Banana Tree Hostel.
Yeah.
I don't think it is a chain. I just think it's...
I think it's a chain.
It felt more like a chain. It felt more like Mad Monkey, if you know the chain, which we stayed in Phnom Penh and Siem Reap. But they, yeah, like you say, they did accommodate us when we arrived at, like 4 or 5 a.m. with, like, a sofa to
they had sofa beds outside by the pool, so we literally arrived and conked out till 8 a.m. until all the like people started coming out of their rooms and getting breakfast outside, and then we're like, right, we gotta wake up now. So Tam Kok is like again a mountainous region. They call it, actually, if you know what Halong Bay is, which is where we are now, Halong Bay is like one of the seven wonders of the natural world, and it's all water and in mountains. But Tam Kok is known as Halong Bay on Earth.
On land.
Yeah. And it's basically like mountains again, but all flat around the area. And it's really, really impressive. And so we cycled around Tam Kok, like mostly everywhere. So the first place that we went to was Bich Dong Pagoda.
Yeah, really, really pretty. Probably one of my favourite pagodas so far.
Yeah, favourite temple. Pagoda means temple, by the way. We didn't mention that in the last part of the podcast.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, that was really, really impressive. And then we went to this place called Hang Mua.
Yeah, which is a viewpoint in Tam Kok, which is, I think, one of, like, the top things to do there, because, like, everyone seems to go. It's a trek. Definitely do it later in the day. We did, but it was still boiling.
That is the most sweatiest I've ever been.
Yeah, so, so sweaty. But the view over Tam Kok is great.
Yeah, it's so pretty. There's, like, a lot of, like, lily pad fields everywhere.
Lotus flowers.
Lotus flowers, yeah, I don't know. And you can go take pictures in the lotus flowers. It felt a lot like Bali again.
Yeah, like so many Vietnamese, like, doing all their poses with their hats and
and
the flowers.
I don't understand how they never look like they're sweating.
They don't have a drop of sweat on them, and we're there, like, dripping, like, our clothes are soggy.
And they're there in, like, their nice flowy dresses, taking
gorgeous
pictures.
Photos.
It's quite funny. But the viewpoint, I think that's the best view we've seen.
Yeah, definitely, in Vietnam. Yeah, and then the next day in Tam Kok, we went on the Trang Em boat trip, which is the number one thing to do here. Tam Kok. And it's like a boat trip through all the...
meandering river, countryside.
And it goes to... we did route 3, so you can pick between 3 different routes, which went through the longest cave in the region.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through 3 caves and to 3 temples. It's a very long trip, but it was really cool.
Yeah, it was very hot as well, but they give you umbrellas that you can, like, shade yourself with for the whole trip. The caves were a lot smaller than Fong Yat, so it didn't feel like we were doing the same thing. Like, it was quite different. And like the temples were quite impressive as well. There was one that was like really, really golden.
Yeah, super golden.
And yeah. And then after that, we were planning on cycling all the way to this other temple,
which apparently is like meant to be, look really spectacular at night, and it's all lit up and looks magical. But we decided that was too far to cycle in the heat.
Yeah.
So we went to Hoa Lu, which is the ancient capital of Vietnam.
In like 1046 or something like that. That could be completely wrong, but like 1,000 years ago it used to be the capital of Vietnam. Not that impressive.
Not super impressive.
No, I just like the flags that they had there.
Yeah, the flags are really cool there. Not exactly sure what the flags represented, and maybe just like the ancient capital, what they were.
Yeah, there wasn't loads of the English signs either, so like you can go to the ancient capital. We kind of just went because we needed another stop.
We were there, cycling. Yeah.
And we were there, so we might as well have gone in, but you didn't need to visit it, yeah. I'd say.
What was your rating for Tam Quoc or Nimbin?
So I really like Tam Quoc, but I did only give it, I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Snap!
Guys, wow.
We've matched at every single ranking this week.
Yeah, very on par. Yeah, I just think, like, all the places were really nice. I really liked the pagoda, the viewpoint, but again, I think the heat.
The heat took it out of us.
It really put it to score down because
I was just so knackered. Like, cycling plus the heat, like, I just remember, like, Tam Quoc being exhausting. Like, the first day we hadn't really slept from the night bus.
Yeah.
And then the next day it was just boiling.
Yeah. But it was really nice to have the, like, pool at Banana Tree Hostel. I was really grateful for that.
Yeah. But also the pool wasn't even that cold.
No, it was quite warm from the sun as well, so.
It was nice to chill by the pool.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our tips and tales. Do you want to start with your tip?
Yeah, I will start.
Okay. Have you got one or four this week?
I've only got one. I actually struggled to find something this week.
Nice. So.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Makes a change. So you already know this tip because I have mentioned it multiple times, but Hannah has been extremely clumsy this week.
Yeah. I don't even have like a leg to stand on.
Literally. She just keeps falling everywhere. I'm like, I think the one that not annoyed me, but I was just like, can you keep yourself together, was when we were at the restaurant in Banana Tree Hostel, and you bashed the cutlery
box.
All onto the floor.
It was when I was standing on my water bottle, hit the container.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all the cutlery fell on the floor.
All the cutlery went everywhere. Loud commotion.
It was loud commotion.
I was like, Hannah, come on. And then you've just been like slipping.
I have been slipping and stumbling quite a bit.
I mean, you haven't hurt yourself, which is good. But
it's
yeah.
Just like trip over like my feet sometimes, or like the curb's always in the way. You know, like things like that. It's like little stumbles.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two.
Oh, you've got two this week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, I feel like I'm allowed to do both, considering you had four last week.
No, I only had two last week in the end.
Really?
Yeah.
I felt like they were coming and coming and coming. So, my main one is your patience this week. I feel like it's been a general week-long thing, or lack of patience,
let's say.
And I have a few examples.
Okay.
Photos in specific positions. That you're very specific about how you want your photos, but then you don't give me a chance to take the photo out of people looking.
Mm.
But if you want the photo taken in a specific way, then wait.
I think it's just because I feel very self-conscious when people are, like, there's so many people taking photos, but also like people just look at the view, and then if you take a photo in front of the view and people want to look at the view after, I'm like, I need to be quick.
I can't be that quick, and then you're not going to like the photo because I haven't got it high enough or low enough or the right thing in the background, or I haven't told you that one piece of your hair's up or something like this. So you have to be a bit more patient.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There was also lack of patience when you left your charger at Village House in Phong Nha, and then you were like, call him. I was like, I'm trying, give me a chance, woman.
I was in panic mode.
You were in full panic, but like your charger was fine, we got back the charger.
Yeah.
A third lack of patience was when we were playing snooker. You were so angry with me because I couldn't get the ball in. By the way, now I have improved on my snooker.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty good at it. The last game we played, I was quite good. I have more examples, but I feel like I've used enough. I think it's also more lacking of patience when you're tired and generally just like way more irritable when you haven't had your sleep and I'm just like,
I'm going to take a nap. But I need 8 hours, otherwise it's a tired, angry Sarah.
Yeah, it's way better when you have 8 hours.
I'm really sorry. I feel really bad.
Okay, they were all my examples of patience.
I thought there was two. I thought,
yeah, my second tip.
Go on.
I felt like that might have been enough, though.
No, I'm okay. You go on.
Okay, well, my second tip, which is like, this happens so rarely when I am more tired than you are. It's happened twice now. The first time it happened in the van when I was more tired and it became a tiff. The second time it happened the other night where I was so, so exhausted and I was just ready for bed. And it happens when Sarah just happens to not want to sleep. And it's not allowed. I'm not allowed to be tired when Sarah isn't tired. And I wasn't allowed to sleep. I had to stay awake.
No. In my defense, I think it was like, it felt too early to go to bed. We had been chilling for like 2 hours and then it was like 10 p.m. and I was like, it's too early to go to bed. I think what I've learned this week is that I am a nighttime person more than a morning person, I'm going to say. I always thought I was a morning person, but I have been generally awake more at night than I have in the mornings.
Yeah, but I don't think you're not that much of a nighttime person always either.
I think I am.
No, but
more than
like,
you.
Sometimes you like, you're like, I need to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, you're not. Like, I need to go to sleep. I need my 8 hours. Or like, if you're tired during the day or like you've walked too much, like say in Hawaii, I was like fine at night. It was like 10 p.m. and you were like, oh, I'm so knackered.
Yeah, depends.
Like, I'm not sure you're particularly either.
Yeah.
I think you're just
an 8 hour person.
Yeah.
Right, onto our tales. So our first tale is the duck stop. So, as we said, we were like told by everyone that was staying in our hostel, go to the duck stop. They didn't really explain what it was. They were just like, you have to go.
It's an experience. Yeah, people just kept being like, I can't explain it to you. It's just an experience that you should have.
Yeah, and we weren't sure if we were going to even be able to go because it's like a 5 kilometer. It wasn't even that far from our hostel, but
I can't remember how far he said it was. He was like, no, you can't cycle there.
He said it was 12 kilometers away. It was not.
Yeah, it took us what, like
half an hour cycle maybe.
Like, it was very flat. Like, it really wasn't a bad cycle.
They thought we were mad for cycling all the way there. So we cycled there and we're like, right, this better be worth this cycle. And it was. It was literally only like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was literally like not long at all. Like, if you were doing it by motorbike, you're there and back in an hour.
Yeah. And like, they just gave us some hats and then they're like, right, we're gonna go see
hats
the
and
ducks.
Shoes.
Hats and shoes. Yeah, we had these weird like croc shoes.
They were like, yeah, red sandals.
Yeah. And we went to go see the ducks and then we had like 3 different exercises that we had to do. The first one was like a hand massage. It basically just means feeding the
it
ducks.
It was feeding the ducks. Yeah.
They just give us a load of food and the ducks pecked your hands and it felt quite nice.
And then we became duck leaders and you had to try and like shake the pot of food and like quack a lot.
Hannah was not good at it. Like, she didn't understand what he was asking her to do. I was like, Hannah, you have to walk over there and the ducks will follow if you're a good duck leader.
Yeah.
You were not a good duck leader.
I wasn't the best duck leader, but eventually they did come.
Yeah, they did come.
And I led them to the right side.
I don't think you quacked loud enough.
I don't know if I did. Yeah, you were a better quacker.
Thanks. <Yeah. laughs> And then the third exercise was a duck foot massage.
Yeah, which you hated. You were in hysterics.
I didn't hate it.
You couldn't keep your feet there.
It was really ticklish and like weird. They just put food in between your feet. You're supposed to put your feet in like a
diamond shape.
And then they put the food in the middle and the ducks like peck. And
oh, I thought it
really
was really
ticklish.
Funny.
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah. And then we got to hold, the full thing was holding a duck.
Oh yeah, we did hold a duck
and having a little picture with the duck.
Yeah.
All just a very weird experience.
Weird and wonderful experience.
I'd recommend it if you go to Fognar.
Yeah, it was a great stop.
Great stop, yeah. Our second tale for the week is that, well, it's happened in one specific place, but generally in Vietnam, you are looked at like you're an alien as a white tourist, white Westerner. So we stopped at some like random restaurant on the way from
Trang An
to Hoa Lu in Tam Kok. Yeah. And we stopped at this random like Vietnamese restaurant on the way.
We just needed a break from like the cycling. It's the only place that was available really. So we're like, right, let's just go in and see how it goes.
Generally, like, we've eaten a lot of Vietnamese food and in Vietnamese restaurants, and all the local food is fine and is good. And but like, we walked in and there was a massive group of Vietnamese tourists, I think they were, in the restaurant, and you're just completely stared at, like you've got horns and like God knows what on your face, like you're literally like they've seen an alien, and they're like, oh my God, and they're like watching. We had like ordered food, and they're like watching you eat, and like
it was also interesting what we ordered as well. We ordered like the typical thing in Tam Kok is like burnt rice, which is like
it tastes
rice
like
rice cakes.
Yeah, it's like rice cakes, but also like Rice Krispies.
So we ordered that, and then they were like,
the other typical thing is fried corn.
You should order the fried corn. So we ordered fried corn,
which is like tempura sweet corn, I'd say, which is impossible to eat with chopsticks, and you're eating one piece of corn at a time.
And all the Vietnamese are staring at you eat your corn one piece at a time.
And then we also had some like morning glory type of thing.
Yeah, it was a very weird mix. Like, they didn't really have. Did they have tofu?
No. Maybe they had tofu and tomato sauce, but we had that before, and it's a bit spongy.
Yeah. So like, that's what we ate. Like, it was loads of food, but just like, yeah, weird. And yeah, I think they just haven't seen. I think it's two things. I think not a lot of people have curly hair.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they've seen many people with curly hair, so they stare for that. And I also think it's blonde hair. They also stare at blonde hair. And
I think also they just stare at white people, and they're fascinated by English people. Like, also, like, we've met a few Vietnamese people that are just like really intrigued by Westerners. They have never met an English person before. They've never met like tourists before, some people. Mm-hmm. You're just fascinated. I don't like it that much.
And our final tale is our unexpected journey from Tam Kok to Cat Bar Island.
Yeah, so I'd say a summary is that every journey is very unexpected and an adventure.
Yeah.
So whether you're told that you're going to get a bus for 2 hours and it's 4 hours or 10 hours and it's actually 7 hours, like, you never know what's coming. So we were told that we were going to be getting a bus and then a ferry to Cat Bar Island, and actually we ended up getting a bus and then a cable car.
Yeah.
Like, it was so bizarre. Like, didn't know this was happening.
Yeah, it was really cool though. Like, our bus as well, we thought we were going to get a sleeper bus because they tend to do sleeper buses most of the time because they're cheaper, but we were actually sat upright, which I was very happy about. And then, like, we just stopped at this like big massive complex. It was like Sun World, which is the same
as Barna Hills.
Yeah, it's the same company that does Barna Hills, which is like a major attraction like outside of Da Nang. And yeah, we went on this massive cable car. It was like a 9-minute ride, really high up in the sky, and like, so cool.
Yeah, so they wanted to build a quicker way to get to Cat Bar Island, a very nice way to get there.
yeah, and Hannah actually made a friend whilst we were on the way there.
Yeah, so we were traveling with like a Vietnamese girl and her auntie. We were going to Cat Bar Island for work, and she was also fascinated by us because she's never met an English person before, and we were just having a great chat on Google Translate.
We were just speaking back and forth on Google Translate. Where are you from? Like, what are you doing on Cat Bar Island? And yeah, it was quite funny.
Yeah.
So those are our tales from the week. On to our lessons learned.
So our first lesson learned is that, as we've said, we've sweated a lot. Vietnam is exceptionally, exceptionally hot. And sun cream is hard to buy here, but also if you do buy it, I'm not sure it's the best sun cream.
Yes.
Yeah, we've bought some not great sun creams, even though they say they are like factor 50 and, you know, they're reasonably priced, they're not particularly cheap. they're not the best. Stock up on your sun cream before you come to Asia.
Like, it's not a joke. Buy tons of sun cream.
Like, I think it's worth the weight in your suitcase or your backpack.
Yeah.
Don't get burnt.
But I think we've been quite good. Like, we've not got that burn.
No. I think it was only, like, one day we got a bit burnt. But, yeah, it hasn't been too bad. But, like, it is hard to buy.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't sell big bottles of it. Like, it's not cheap. Like, Vietnamese people don't wear sun cream, and they cover up a lot.
Yeah,
like,
they're covered head to toe.
When you see people like going on their bikes, they wear these like sort of, they're kind of like dressing gowns. They're like full coverage, like mittens over the hands, like all the way down to their feet, like
scarf, everything.
Like, but they're completely covered. Like they don't wear masks because of COVID. They wear masks because of like the pollution, but also they have like scarves that cover their faces. Like, they're just like fully covered all the time to like protect their skin. So it's really only us who like just can't wear any clothes because of the heat, that like you have to wear sun cream because like it's boiling.
Yeah. Our second lesson that we learned was that you can cycle around. We've been told, like, the Vietnamese always say, don't cycle, it's too far, it's too far. And I get it, it is really hot, and so you wouldn't choose to cycle if you were, like, a local and you had a bike, and, like,
yeah,
you just wouldn't cycle because it is too hot. But I'd say for us, it was a good method of getting around, especially if you don't want to spend a ton of money getting bikes everywhere, like motorbikes. And
yeah, cycling, renting a bicycle was cheaper,
mm-hmm,
and it was fine to get around Phong Nha to the Dark Soul Pan to Phong Nha Cave, and as well to get around Tam Kok and Ninh Binh area. And the roads were all really good, everything was pretty flat, and it was a really nice way to get around, even though it was boiling.
Yeah, like, I think it was nicer because you got to really appreciate the scenery all around you, especially like when we were cycling back from Hang Mua. Like, it was a nice temperature, really pretty fields all around you. I really enjoyed cycling.
Yeah.
And another lesson is, if you're going to Ninh Binh, stay in Tam Kok, because Tam Kok is closer to all the attractions, and so you can cycle from Tam Kok. I'm not sure if you could cycle from Ninh Binh.
Yeah, everyone seems to stay in Tam Kok. I'm not sure even if there's anything really in central Ninh Binh. Mm-hmm. Everything's kind of like on the outskirts.
Yeah.
I have a lesson that I've learned, and Sarah has a lesson that she's learned. Do you want to say yours first?
Yeah, so my lesson is, so I am a flexitarian, like, I try to be veggie.
Is that an actual thing?
I'm gonna say it is.
Okay.
I'm like pesky, but like I'll eat meat sometimes. Like, I'm basically just trying to only be vegetarian as much as possible for the environment and for those kind of reasons. But there is the occasion where I'm like, I really should try some traditional Vietnamese food, because like I'm only in Vietnam once, like this is what they eat like on a day-to-day basis. I should like experience the culture. And so we were at this one restaurant, and I was like, right, I'm gonna eat beef. And I always order and always instantly regret it.
Yeah.
Because
it's never great.
There's never gonna be good quality meat.
Mm.
Because, like, it just never is. And I just know that I would feel better and less guilty if I was veggie.
Yeah.
Rather than eating beef. Yeah. So that is my lesson that I've learned this week. Don't order the beef, even though I feel like it's gonna be great. It's probably the only time I haven't regretted it.
Yeah.
Was when we were in Cambodia and I tried their dish is called Lok Lak, and that beef was incredible. So like sometimes it's worth it,
but that's one out of like 4 months.
Yeah, very rarely. And I haven't tried that many. Like, I don't think I've eaten that much.
No, probably not that much. But my lesson is to be more forceful, to tell you to stop ordering the meat, because I feel like I shouldn't tell you to stop ordering it, but then actually you regret it every single time. So now I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll force you to not order it and to stick with me on the veggie side.
Yeah.
So also now, I feel like you've seen, we cycled past at one point, Vietnamese people carving like a dead cow.
Oh, that was horrible.
I feel like that really put me off.
I was like, I'm never eating beef again.
Yeah.
Or duck, like they had like ducks in this like tiny
they
little
keep
cage.
Them in, like a cage,
like,
yeah.
The conditions are awful for the animals here, and like, the reason like I want to be veggie is because of the environment, but now I'm like, maybe I should do it for the animals as well.
It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's my lesson for the week. onto our highs and lows.
So my high of the week is caves, and I was struggling to pick between Paradise Cave or Phong Nha Cave, because I really, really liked both of them. I think maybe I prefer Phong Nha Cave as like a whole experience, but like the actual Paradise Cave itself was really cool. Impressive. Yeah, I think Paradise Cave was way more impressive, but like the time we spent in Phong Nha Cave, I preferred. I felt like I was a bit, not rushed, but like a little bit like more time pressured, because like we were with a guide and like she was walking quite quickly, and like I wanted to stop and like appreciate it more and like just walk a bit slower. Whereas in Phong Nha Cave, like I enjoyed the boat trip through it, was like really long. I got to see it all, and then we got to like walk around it for at our own pace, do some timed pictures and things like that. Like, yeah, but I really enjoyed all the caves that we've seen this week.
My high also involves a cave,
yeah,
but it's not either of those.
It's Dark Cave.
Dark Cave. So I think I just love any adventure park and like that kind of thing. I love the zip lines. So there's a zip line to Dark Cave. That one was like nice, like chill, but I like the ones where you like zip line and you let go and you jump into the water.
Yeah, so they had these ones that you like held onto, and
yeah,
I don't know how far it was, but it was like over the water.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the whole afternoon. Like, we didn't get any of it on camera because we didn't have like the thing, but like it was so much fun. I like water parks in general and that kind of thing, so that was my
You kept saying it wasn't nearly as good as Waterfront Bali.
Yeah, not quite as good as Waterfront Bali, but really good.
Yeah, not quite as good. Making me jealous. I didn't quite experience it. Do you want to go for your low?
My low for this week, Hannah has already mentioned it. It was a very momentary low. It was
losing your charger.
It was 5 minutes, but I was like in that, like my heart sank.
Yeah.
And I had left my phone charger at the hostel, and we had 15 minutes before our bus was due to arrive, our night bus.
Yeah.
And I was like, crap, like I can't cope without my phone charger. Like
it's a special charger. It's a special charger. Incredibly fast.
Yeah, like my phone has a specific charger that works for it, and it charges to 100% within like 10-20 minutes, and like it's a great charger. I was like, I can't leave this charger. The charger costs like £100. So I was like, I can't leave this charger. So then I like panicked and was like, Hannah, please call the guy. Call the guy now. He needs to come. The hostel was only 2 minutes away from the bus stop, so like he could have made it. I was just in pure panic.
And like, he did. He literally showed up like 2 minutes later.
He showed up 3 minutes. Yeah, it was so quick. I was like, I'm so thankful right now. Like, I want to give you a hug. Like, thank you so much. But yeah, that was my momentary low.
Your momentary low, no. You were proper panicked.
Yeah.
I struggled for a low this week, actually. But I'll say my low was the night bus to Tampuk Nimbin and the lack of sleep that whole night.
Yeah.
I think that was my worst night bus for sleeping. Like, I didn't do anything on the night bus. Literally, we got in at like 9 p.m. I tried to sleep straight away, but I was just like super uncomfortable. I was in the middle row, and I think I really don't like the middle row. I'm not normally there. I don't have an edge, which I prefer, and it didn't have any curtains. It just felt incredibly uncomfortable. And even when we got to Banaya Tree and was napping on the sofa, it was like I felt damp. Everywhere felt damp, and like I didn't feel like I really got any sleep that whole night. So
yeah, you were very tired.
I was tired.
On to our interesting facts of the week, because we've got to keep this podcast education.
A little bit of education in there. So I've got some interesting facts about Phong Nha. So Phong Nha has the largest cave in the world. It's called Hang Son Dong. But actually, to visit this cave, you have to sign up for like a year or two in advance to be able to go. And it costs $3,000 US dollars to be able to visit it.
Yeah, so
we didn't go.
Fact check from last week. We didn't go to the biggest cave.
We didn't go to the biggest cave in the world. So instead, we went to Paradise Cave, which was only actually discovered in 2005. And we walked 1 kilometer in. You can go 7 kilometers in if you go on like this trek. But the actual cave, Paradise Cave, is 31 kilometers.
Really?
Which is actually the longest dry cave in Asia.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So Hang Son Dong is like the largest cave in the world, but maybe it's a wet cave, because apparently Paradise Cave is the longest dry cave in Asia. And then we also visited Dark Cave, which has the longest zip line in Vietnam, which was the way that we went to, which is how you enter the cave.
Oh.
And that's the longest in Vietnam.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. They're my facts for you.
I've not got a lot of facts at all. I've been quite bad. The only fact that I've got is that in Tangkok, Trang An, the boat trip, that's where multiple scenes of King Kong was filmed. Mm-hmm. And that's all I've got.
You don't know anything else about
Yeah, not learnt a lot. I feel like we haven't had a lot of tour guides that have explained
that explains
to us.
A lot. Yeah,
and that's normally how we get our facts. Yeah, is from tour guides, but yeah,
not so much this week.
So apologies for the lack of education.
Yeah.
On to our upcoming plans. So right now we're actually in Cat Bar Island, which is a place that you can go to then do a boat tour of Ha Long Bay.
And Lanha Bay.
And Lanha Bay, yeah. And so we did Ha Long Bay yesterday, but we'll
save it for next week's episode.
Save it for next week.
And today we're headed to Hanoi, which is our final stop for Vietnam.
Yeah.
Which is the capital city. So we'll spend 3 days in Hanoi. Then we're off to our final destination.
It's really sad. It's like we still have about 5 weeks left, just under 5 weeks.
Just under, yeah.
And it feels so real that we're gonna be going home soon. Like,
it's crazy. Yeah.
It's really, really weird.
Like, we've been away now for 18 weeks.
Yeah. It's been long. And like 5 weeks is
doesn't feel like anything left, but okay, no, it's still like so much, and we've got like a whole other country to see
and explore and like experience. And so
we're going to
drum roll, Thailand. It's kind of expected because Thailand is like a destination in Southeast Asia that everyone
visits.
And normally it's everyone's first destination, but we're ending with Thailand because it made sense to fly home from Bangkok. So yeah, very
I'm really
excited,
but it does feel like
the end.
Really final. I can't believe it's so final.
Yeah. So yeah, if you wanna keep up to date with the podcast, follow us on Spotify, turn on your notifications, and you'll know when the episode comes out.
And follow us on Instagram at the Traveling To Podcast.
We've been slacking a little bit.
We haven't been like great this week.
It's really hard to get the balance between like enjoying a place and experiencing it, but also wanting to share it with like followers and like family and friends and that kind of thing. So yeah, we haven't been as up to date, but we'll try.
We'll try.
If you wanna send us any questions, any suggestions, anything you wanna share with us, you can email us at thetravelingtopod@gmail.com.
So we'll be back in your ears again next week.
For now.
Bye.